Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Imagine your doctor says you have a disease so rare that maybe you've never even heard of it. You can't take home a glossy brochure or join a local support group, and you feel isolated, frightened, and adrift. How do you begin to understand your disease and ways to be your own advocate? Ben Ford is Director of Clinical Research at Sanford Health. He joins us today to talk about connecting the rare disease community at a local level. Ben Ford, welcome to In the Moment. Thanks for being here.
No, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be on.
We are going to talk about this Rare on the Road tour, but first, help us understand what the need is, because a lot of people would say if it's a rare disease, how many people is this really impacting in the region?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I think the best way to answer it is really that there's about 7,000 diseases that are considered rare. And what that means is that they affect fewer than 200,000 people in the United States. So they're diseases that that not a lot of people have individually. But the best kept secret in this whole thing is that about 1 in 10 people in America are affected by a rare disease of some shape or form. And so although they're called rare conditions, turns out it's not all that rare to have one. And I think that is a piece of information that should be better disseminated, because while those patients are spread across those 7,000 diseases, there are a lot of things that a patient with a rare condition could relate to with someone else with a different rare condition. For instance, it could be very lonely, and there aren't a lot of answers to questions that you may have. Finding the right healthcare team is a challenge. There's all sorts of things that run through the rare disease community overall that people with rare conditions have to deal with. And since it's impacting roughly 10% of the whole population, this is kind of one of the things we're trying to do to raise awareness around it locally, to let people know that they're certainly not alone and that there are people out there who want to help.
Tell us about the Rare on the Road tour. How can people connect?
Absolutely. So there are two kind of national large organizations that are involved with this. The first is a group called Global Genes. They're based in California. You can think of them as like a giant advocacy group for anyone with a rare condition. And they help people find their communities. They help people feel like they're empowered as a rare disease patient to find access to information. And the other big group is called Every Life Foundation, and they come at it from more of a legislative side. They teach rare disease patients and caregivers how to engage their legislators and how to play an active role in the lawmaking process so that this small group of underrepresented folks still has a voice when it comes to making laws in the country. Global Genes and Every Life team up, and they do this this traveling road show called the Rare on the Road, where they go to different regions of the country and they bring folks with any rare condition together. And they want to teach them how to tell their rare disease story, recognize how they can impact public policy, of course, connect with other people living with rare conditions, and to just discover how they can get engaged in social media and use those tools that everybody has right there in their smartphone to raise awareness and tell their story.
Tell me why it's important for Sanford Health to bring this kind of information and tour to South Dakota, to the city of Sioux Falls, because this is Saturday, July 13th, we should say, at the Sanford Center, yeah, which is on East 60th Street North, and it gets 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. on that Saturday. Why here?
Yeah, so I think, it makes total sense to have it in Sioux Falls. We're kind of the hub for the region at the intersection of I-29 and I-90. So it's accessible. But, we're also this kind of healthcare hub where we've got the two large hospital systems. And certainly within those systems, there are people that are being treated with rare conditions. And it's important for folks, I think, in this region of the country where we are so spread out and communities are so small, for people who are facing these unique challenges to be able to find others like them who share their same cultural beliefs, that experience the same day-to-day struggles, that are in their own backyard, and to be able to bring them all together in one place to kind of accomplish all those things I just outlined.
Yeah.
In terms of Sanford in particular, I work for Sanford Research, and rare disease over the past 10 years has become kind of a pillar of what we do. Where there's a lot of main things that we focus on, but rare conditions has become a big piece of it. And I think from the researcher's standpoint, spending so much of our time and resources to try to get down to the bottom of what's going on with some of these conditions, it only makes sense to reach out into the community and try to do as best we can to help folks learn more about what they can do to get involved and maybe even learn more about the conditions that they're dealing with. So the event itself will actually be held at our research facility at 2301 East North 60th Street. And it'll be a fantastic Saturday event for anyone to travel to.
Some of this might seem obvious, but I think for people who maybe haven't thought about it before, it might be illuminating. Talk a little bit about some of the research challenges when you're dealing with rare diseases and coming up with the studies and solutions and patients. Explain that for us, please.
Yeah, absolutely. So doing research on medical conditions in general is a challenge for a bunch of different reasons. The first big one, I think, is no surprise. It's funding, finding the resources and the money to support the work that you're doing. If you're doing something on, unfortunately, far too many people are diagnosed with breast cancer each year. There's a lot of people who get breast cancer diagnosis, and so there are a lot of resources thrown at researching things like breast cancer because it can have a big impact for a lot of people. When you translate that into rare conditions where maybe there are, a dozen people in the whole country who are living with that, I think it's harder for funding organizations and for groups like the NIH that hand out a lot of money to do biomedical research. It's harder for them to translate that, and you can't put a return on investment into research because what we're learning impacts all facets of health and disease. But because of the small populations that we're working with, that's certainly an obstacle that has to be overcome. The second thing is just as big, and that's gaining access to patients and patient samples that you can analyze in a laboratory. It's difficult to locate patients wherever they are and make them aware of research studies that are out there. And so one of the unique things that Sanford has done to overcome some of that barrier is we have created a rare disease registry called the Coordination of Rare Diseases at Sanford. We call it CORDS for short. And anyone in the entire world that has a rare condition can go in and enter their data and their information there, and that automatically opens the door for future research for those folks and gives them an opportunity to play as active a role in research into their condition as they can possibly play. And I think that's really a hopeful activity. It's something that gives folks an impression that they're contributing and really becomes a source of hope for them and their family.
How important is, when we talk about, just empowerment and playing an active role and even telling your story, how important is that for people? Because that's when you get a diagnosis, that's not necessarily the first thing that you're, it can be overwhelming to just figure out what it is. Why, how do you tell that story in a way that ends up being useful, not only for others, but for your own journey?
Yeah. This is something where, we talk to individuals that are living with rare diseases every day. And The struggle, like I said earlier, is just as much mental as it is physical on your body. There's a lot of loneliness, depression, and anxiety, and things like that run kind of rampant through this community, just because life is stressful as a rare disease patient, even more so than maybe for other folks. And so when an individual, you know, this is stuff that I hear all the time, when an individual that's been diagnosed with a rare disease goes home, pulls up, you know, does what anybody would do, and they pull up Google and they type in their diagnosis, and they don't find anything. They don't even find a support group. That's kind of soul crushing. Yeah. And by stepping out and telling your own story, learning how to feel empowered enough to share your experience, you do two things. You connect with people who are suffering from your same condition, and you create that community that you weren't able to find on Google. But the second thing is, you uncover this entire layer of other things, like that depression, like that anxiety, and those other symptoms that people with rare conditions, no matter what the disease, are more likely to face. And you say there's 7,000 of these different diagnoses, but it turns out we've all got a lot of stuff in common. And as a community overall, rare disease patients can do a lot together and raise a lot of awareness to some of these secondary struggles that go along with living with a rare disease.
So as researchers, in a world where, you know, if you have a rare disease, you might not have anyone to talk to, they talk to their healthcare providers. I'm thinking a lot. This must be quite a journey for researchers and doctors as well.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's a learning process. By definition, these diseases do not affect a lot of people. And so there's not a whole lot known about it in the medical community and in medical training. There's a saying that when you hear hoofbeats, think horses, not zebras. And, you know, that's the saying to say, you know, when someone comes along with a certain set of symptoms, the most obvious diagnosis is probably going to be what it is.
Yeah.
And that works for, you know, seeing the majority of your patients. But the problem with that is zebras also exist. and they're out there. And there is an entire diagnostic odyssey that rare disease patients go on, where the last stat I heard was that on average, the average rare disease patient is misdiagnosed 5 to 7 times before they're ultimately settled on their condition.
Wow.
And that could lead to being treated for things you don't have. That could lead to an enormous amount of lab testing and other scans and things that are completely unnecessary, and it winds up costing a lot too. And so from our research perspective, we look at learning as much as we possibly can about these diseases and how they differ subtly from one another, or how they differ from more common diseases that they kind of look and act like, so that when a doctor is in the room with a patient and they're presenting with certain symptoms, they don't have to jump to the zebra as the first step, but they should also have that zebra in the back of their mind as something that also has hooves and makes hoofbeats.
Yeah. Well, you had me at Diagnostic Odyssey. That just sort of explains it all right there, doesn't it? Yeah. All right, for people who want to register, it's raretour.org is where they can start finding registration for the event at the Sanford Center, 2301 East 60th Street North in Sioux Falls. It's on July 13th, 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. So for the people who are saying, how do I know if this disease qualifies as a rare disease? Do you already know if you have one of these things, or is there some way to sort of give an indication of who you want to come?
We will open this up to anyone and everyone. Rare diseases are something that doesn't just impact the patient. People who care for individuals living with rare diseases, or individuals who know people who have a rare disease, any one of us could sit and think for a couple of minutes and identify at least one or two people in our lives that lives with a rare condition. Yeah. And so I think the whole community in general, could get a lot out of attending this event and learning about some of the ways that folks have to live a unique life living with a rare condition.
Yeah, my brother has a rare condition, and our joke, as you tend to joke about these things when times are tough, is this is so fascinating if it's not happening to you. So that's we always remind ourselves how interesting the science is and interesting the research is if it was just a story you were reading about someone else.
You know, that's 100% right. And about two-thirds of all rare diseases affect children. And so we're talking a lot of cases about pediatric illness. And when I talk to the moms and dads, the recurring thing that comes up is that it may be a rare disease, but for our family, this is common. This is not rare.
Right. Yeah.
This is something very real that we have to deal with.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a disservice to each individual family that faces those challenges to put it on the shelf and say, oh, it's rare. It doesn't necessarily deserve our attention. Because this impacts real people every day.
Every day. Ben Forward, Director of Clinical Research at Sanford Health, thank you so much for being here with us. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me. I hope you guys have a happy 4th of July.